possible to ask you all to just move forward. Perhaps I could speak without a microphone. I want to thank my wife for being here, and my sister, and my niece, and my students, and my good friends. There are pages. I know that there is an Easter of sleeping, even a Shenat Arai outside of a sukkah. So I would like to make this more sort of interactive. So I gave out pages that we'll be able to learn together some sources. And I think that that'll help us all to remain awake at this time of night or morning. The three previous speakers fulfilled the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, Al Shalosh Adram Ha'olam Ameid, Al HaTorah, Al HaAvodah, Val Gemilus Chasadim. Rav Shechter dealt with an overview of Torah Shebal Peh, at least three aspects. Rav Lam spoke about Avoda, how one should relate to the Avoda of Hoshana Rabbah, and Rav Goldwicht related to Gemilus Chasadim in terms of the Chibur of Chevron, the Chibur of Klal Yisrael, which is very necessary at this point. So I'll skip over to the last mission of Pirkei Avos, Al Shlosh Adorim Ha'olam Kayam, Al Ha'emes, Al Ha'din, V'Al Ha'Shalom, and I'll explain what I mean in a few minutes. I decided on the topic for this evening on Erev Sukkos. On Erev Sukkos, as I think all of you are aware, there was a double levaya here in Yerushalayim of two cousins, two women or two girls, depending from whose perspective, two young ladies, 20 years old, who were murdered. The levaya was very tearing. And then from the levaya, one took a deep breath, all the thousands of people who were at the levaya, and entered into the sukkah, into Zman Simchasenu, sitting with family, singing over a very, very festive meal. And this contrast sort of set up what I view as something which is very incumbent upon us to try and understand, and that is how to deal with din in an era of ahava. We live in very special times. I don't know if the younger people who are here, who are mostly the audience, can appreciate the fact that these are really, really special times. That going back to when I was born, there was not a Medinat Yisrael. There was not yet a Kibbutz Galuyot. There were not hundreds of thousands of Jews sitting and learning in Eretz Yisrael in all sorts of frameworks. There were not 1,000 students of YU who were here on a yearly basis. We live in very, very special times in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a tremendous surfeit, tremendous gifts. And simultaneous with these gifts, we have a Midas Hadin, in which I think at this point there's no one who lives in Israel who hasn't lost over the last 5 years a dear friend or a relative or both, who were the best and the brightest, who had all the tmimus and all of the midos that we looked towards and served as role models for ourselves. If one goes back just over the last few months in terms of the Hitnatkut, destruction of communities, destruction of families, meaning of berootedness. And again, you're talking about the most idealistic of our brothers. And every one of us who lives here has his own horror story about this friend and this friend and this friend and where this one is currently and that one is currently. And these are individuals who live for the klal, who live with emunah, who live with bitachon, total self-sacrifice. And the question is, how does one balance these two? And I think that trying to balance the concept of din in an era of ahava, that there's really no more fitting time than Leil Hoshana Rabbah to deal with this, because what is Hoshana Rabbah? We're talking about Sukkos, and Sukkos, aside from being Zman Simchasenu, is the epitome of ahava. It's the symbolic embodiment of ahava, of even yes, Yasvuni, Vashem Yasveni. that the Melech calls us in b'chadarav, nagira b'nismachabach. There's a famous Ari who pointed out that the dimensions of the sukkah, shnayim kilchoson afil ushlishas afilu tefach, are the dimensions of a hug, where you have an arm, shnayim kilchoson ushlishas afilu tefach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hugging us and he'd like us to hug him back. This is a period of ahava. Smack in the middle of this period of ahava, we have Hoshana Rabbah, which the Ramban in Chumash already points out. The Ramban in Parsha Shlach, when the Meraglim are giving their din and Yoshua and Kalev are speaking against them, the Ramban points out over there that Yoshua and Kalev are telling Kal Yisrael there's a Yom Hadin, there's a Chitum Hadin, that there's a Laila of Hoshana Rabbah, which we're going to have to make a reckoning. Here we have din in, right after Ahava, and then we will go back to Ahava. Ahava and din, and then Shmini Atzeres is one Cheftz of Ahava. Kasha Lai Predaschem, we're in a Yichud with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how does one move from mood to mood? How does one relate to it? So I guess one way is by staying up now and listening to Divrei Torah, but I'd like the Divrei Torah to relate specifically to this theme of how to relate to din in an era of rachamim. And this is not a theme that I am raising. This is a theme that was raised by the Ramchal and the Sis Yesharim. If you have the pages that I handed out, so those of you who are familiar with the print of the Sis Yesharim, on two sides of the page, but on one side you have the large black print, where on the top line he points out, "Umivchan ha'ava hazot, hu bizman ha'dochak v'hatzara." But here in Perek Yutes of the Mesilas Yesharim, he's dealing with a definition of Ahava, and he points out that the test of Ahava is when things aren't going the way that they're supposed to, is when all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from underneath us, and then the question is, what level of Ahava can we feel at that point? Or does one have to move over to a whole different Madrega, that of Yira? If you recall, in the Mishnayos, in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah mentions that one should be in Avodim HaMeshamshin Es Harav Shalom Anatol Kagel Pras V'yehei Morashem Mayim Aleichem. And the Bartanura over there points out that even though the first part of the Mishnah deals with Ahava, the Mishnah ends with Yira, because if someone wants to kick and he's only Oved Me'ahava, he'll kick. If someone wants to run away and he's Oved Me'ahava and things aren't going well, he'll run away. And that's why you need the Yira to come in to balance matters. When you're afraid, you don't kick. When you're afraid, you don't run away. However, the Ramchal wanted to say you don't have to go to that extreme. We can live with a world of ahava, even with din. And he continues, V'chein amru zel v'ahavto et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha u'b'chol nafshecha afilu notel es nafshecha u'b'chol maldecha b'chol mamonecha. Over here, the Ramchal is quoting a Mishnah. He's quoting a Mishnah which says, K'shem she'adam v'varech al hatova kachu chayev v'varech al hara'a. Because it says v'ahavta, we have a chiyuv of ahava, even in a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away our life, or part of our life, or our friend's life, or our neighbor's life. Afilu notel es me'odecha, he takes away property, takes away our community. B'chol zot, there is a mitzvah of ahava, and there is a method in which one can be ohev, even in a way of din. And the Ramchal continues, Amnam kedei shelo tiyena hatzarot v'dechakim, Koshi u'minyayla'ava, yeshu adan l'hashivir atzmo shtei tshuvot. Namely, that the Ramchal points out, it's all a question of perspective. If one can have the proper perspective, and he's going to offer over here two perspectives, one can somehow be able to view this din in the context of ahava, and be able to live with the dichotomy, be able to live with the stira, with the inner contradiction which is involved. Those of you who are here from my generation, those who are less than a million, will remember that when the Russians sent Yuri Gagarin up to into space, he came back and in a press conference proclaimed that God does not exist because he was up there. And this is true. And he had a window in his Sputnik, and he looked out and he saw no chair, no throne, no nothing. There is no God. After a few years, when the Americans sent their astronauts out, when Americans do things, they do things properly with television cameras, and they had a color TV camera on the way to the moon. And after showing the perspective of the moon from halfway between the Earth and the moon, the astronauts turned the space capsule around, turned the Apollo around to face the Earth, and give a sense of what the earth looks like from their perspective, which was a picture that no one had ever seen previously in human history. And as they put the picture on the earth, those of you who are my age will remember, the astronauts began proclaiming or reciting, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God." Hashemayim Mesafrim Kvod Kel. Namely, you have two people in very, very similar situations. One who will say there is no God, and the other who will say that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. That everything is totally in perspective. And so the Ramchal over here wants to give us perspectives on how to be able to deal with din. He offers two. One, Shaveh L'chol Nefesh, one which he feels everyone can deal with. The other one, L'chachamim Balei Deya Ha'amuka. Ritz Hashem, I hope to show that I think it's just the opposite, that the first one really is Ba'alei Chochma Amuka, but the latter one may be something that we can all relate to. But there's one perspective that he doesn't offer, and that I brought over here in the name of others who do offer it, and that is the perspective of silence. That there is a concept of silence. It is not a bricha mehametziyut. It is not a form of running away from a problem, but it's a very, very powerful form of facing a dilemma. Vayidom Aharon. Aharon was silent. The Hamikdavar, I'll try and be brief and get us back to schedule to a certain degree. Just look at the last line of the Hamikdavar. Hareze ose baze nachat ruach le'aviv b'mashe her'ah ki ritzon aviv ze ritzono. That silence can serve as a confirmation, a silent confirmation of God's will. Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach yehi shem Hashem evarach, but without words. Simply, the silence speaks much louder than words. The Ketav HaKabbalah, right underneath it, speaks about Lashon Damam, in the middle of the second paragraph, al hashtika haritzonit, when a person on purpose is silent, shem muskam biritzono ushto, he decides to be quiet, v'hu Lashon hashva'a, that he wants to make a certain equation between himself and another. Hu Lashon hashva'a, dahayno shehu mushve biritzono, that he can cause his ratzon, his will, to be the equivalent of that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein bo yir'ur p'nimi ha-matzik u'ch'she'yedaber. Speech, as we know from Eov, can trip a person up. He can begin by being silent, and then he can begin to speak, and then it all comes out. But if he remains silent, that brings about a situation of haskama gemura v'hashvat ratzon liyot shotek v'shotek ve'eno mitpa'el klal al hadibur. And skip down to the very end. Vayidom Aharon magid shvacho shel Aharon haya shotek b'ratzon gamur shezeh shaveh b'da'ato b'rishum ir'ur al mikresh irago. What is going on over here? What are the Hamikdavar and the Ketav HaKabbalah hinting at? If you'll turn the page over, there is a very, very beautiful essay of Rav Volba, which is not printed in Ali Shur. Rav Volba Zatzal passed away this past year, but which was printed in a volume in memory of Rav Gustman, in which he has a ma'arechet, an entire dissection of forms of Avodas Hashem, Pelech Hashtika uPelech HaHodaya, in which he deals with Rachel and Leah, Leah who was the Moda, who praised God, Hapam Odeh et Hashem, and Leah created a genre of speech of Shevach, and Rachel, who created a genre of silence. And he points out over here, when it goes down to about the third paragraph on the right hand side, Garsinan Bebrachot Avava Medet, Amar Rav Papa Agra de Beitamya Shitikuta. The praise or the reward, thank you. The reward in the Beit Olam, in the cemetery, is silence. Amar Rav Ashi Agra de Behilula Mile. However, the reward, or that which would be fitting and proper at a wedding hall, would be speech. Kan gidul chazal gidram v'sodam shel dibur v'shtika. Hatoelet sheyesh la'adam mima shemishtatef b'chatuna hi milim. A person comes to a wedding in order to bring happiness to the chasan and the kala. One cannot bring happiness more than via speech. Hu ozer behitkashrut shel hachatan v'hakala. Hu oseh zot b'milim. Kate said, "Meraktin lifnei hakala." We don't have over here a form of a dance step, but rather a form of speech. Kala na'a v'chasuda v'chaveva al ba'ala. אפשר לחבב אלא על ידי דיבור. וזהו עצם יצירת כוח הדיבור, לקשר ולקרב. Speech was created to create a social connection. Rabbi Chutzdin, Baruch Hashem, I was zocher that he was at the wedding of, I think, almost all of our children, and at each wedding he walked over to the chasan and the kala and spoke to them. And spoke to them in terms of what each of them will mean to one another. That's the concept over here of Agra de Behilula Mile. And then on the other hand, we have the Beit Tamya. Next paragraph, Beit Tamya hu Beit Almin, or Beit Avel. And that already is a makom of din. This is what we're referring to, the reaction to din. V'kachu habrocha shemevarachim sham, no matter what age the person passed away. Baruch asher yatsa etchem bedin, v'zan v'kekel etchem bedin, v'hemit etchem bedin, v'yodei ha-mispar kulchem bedin, v'atchim tidot hayotchem bedin, v'din mechayev shtika. Why? Bedin shechas v'shalom pogaat ba'adam hanhaga she'eno masig. We are very, very strange creatures. We feel that we understand chesed, because chesed is something which is coming to us. Chesed is something we deserve. We deserve to wake up in the morning. We deserve to eat. We deserve to sleep. We deserve to be clothed. We deserve to get married. We deserve to have a house. We deserve to make a living. Chesed is something that we think we understand because we think we deserve it. Din is something that we don't understand why it happens to us or why it happens, so we don't understand. Chesed also, basically, we don't understand, but we think we understand. But din, we're certainly sure we don't understand. Hanhagash al din, it's humbling. Din is humbling. And when one is humbled, a reaction, a proper reaction, could very well be silence. And then, that was going back to the Mitziv and going back to the Ktava Kabbalah, what they had in mind in terms of Vayidom Aharon. Being able to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not necessarily have to allow us to understand where he's holding currently, but we accept it because we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you really love, then one's love can go beyond words into silence as well, and one's love can go beyond understanding into realizing that there are things that currently we can't understand. This the Ramchal doesn't talk about, probably because it's so obvious. And therefore he goes on to give two other reactions to the world of din. So let's go back to the Ramchal and see what other reactions would be proper in terms of our relating to din in an area and an era of ahava, so as not to break the ahava, but rather to perhaps even reinforce the ahava. The first one he speaks of, achati komai da'avdin min shemaya l'tav. What does that mean? V'zeh ki afilu hatzar v'hadocha kanira be'in avra'a, einenu be'emet ela tova amitit, kimishal harofei achotech et habasar or et ha'ever shenifsad, when there's an amputation, kidei she'evri shar ha'guf v'lo yamut, afo pin she'ma'ase achzori l'cholera, einu ela rachmanut be'emet lehitivo ba'achriyuto. V'lo yasir ha'chole avato me'harofei bavur zeh ha'maaseh, ela adera ba'yosif l'ahava oto. I once heard a lecture of Rabbi Lef, who I think even at this hour of the morning will be able to keep us all awake. He's a wonderful, wonderful speaker. And he tried to explain or tried to raise a dilemma in terms of Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder is like one of those occurrences which goes beyond Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, non-affiliated. Leil HaSeder, every Jew feels a sense of Leil HaSeder, whether they're watching a Big Bird cartoon on Leil HaSeder or whether they're sitting down to a halachic Seder, that there's a sense of, thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we were freed. So he said, it's very, very strange. Let's say that we, each of us individually, were to be walking down a street, and all of a sudden someone would grab us from behind, throw us to the ground, break our legs, and then introduce himself to us. I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I see you have two broken legs. I know how to fix your legs. I'm going to put your legs in casts. They're going to stay that way for a few weeks, and then we take out those casts, you're going to be able to walk again. And I don't want any money from you. All I want is that once a year, you sit down, and you eat some matzah, and thank me for allowing you to walk. So we return to that individual and say, Lo mituv sheikh, lo miyukzech. Who needs this? I was walking fine before all this happened. Why in the world should I thank you for putting me in slavery for 210 years, putting me in a situation of terrible suffering, putting me in a situation where I saw death all around me, where I thought there was no way out, and then you take me out and you want me to thank you? Where is the justice which is involved over here? Where is the sense of proportion? And the answer, of course, is that there's a certain missing factor, namely that orthopedist would tell the individual, I saw you walking down the street. I saw from your gait that you have a debilitating illness, that you have something that you may not be aware of, but it's going to paralyze you within a relatively short period of time and then bring you to an awful death. And the only way of dealing with this situation is by breaking your legs and setting them again. And that's what I did for you in the best possible manner, and now you are healthy. And now you are able to enjoy life. That's a whole different situation, but with one missing factor, one thing that we weren't aware of. But if one comes from the perspective of Kol Mai Da'avad Rachmana L'Tavu Da'avad, putting things in a broader perspective, which is what he continues, Kein HaDavar HaZeh, Kishiyachshav Adam SheKol Ma HaShekadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Imo, L'Tavato Hu Oseh. Look at the broader picture. Ben Sheyeh Gufo, Ben Sheyeh B'Mamono. Baruch Hashem, we're living, we're able to do what we can do. Afal Pishu Eino Ro'eh Ve'Eino Mevin Echzo Tovato V'Adai Tovato Li. That one aspect which appears to us to be unexplainable can be put into a broader picture with the belief of Kol Mai Da'avad Rachmana L'Tav Hu Da'avad. And this can be taken one step further, and that's really what the Gemara does. Perhaps that's why the Ramchal quotes this. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Kishem Shem Mevarech Al Ha-Ra'a, Al Ha-Tova, Kach Mevarech Al Ha-Ra'a? What's the Kishem over here? We have two different brachos. Al Ha-Tova, we make a Birka Shechiyana, or a Tova Ha-Metiv. Al Ha-Ra'a, we make a bracha, Baruch Dayan Ha-Met. So the Gemara says, Lomrinhu B'Simcha. L'Kablinhu B'Simcha. And the Gemara then goes on to the concept of Kol Mai Da'avad Rachmana L'Tav Hu Da'avad. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Chesed U'Mishpat Ashira. Chesed Ashira, Mishpat Ashira. On the other side of the page, I quote over here from Rav Pinkus' book, Sharon B'Tfila, where he points out that we have this paradox within Sefer Eicha. We didn't read Eicha all that long ago on Tisha B'Av, where we read a pasuk, Kumi Roni Balayla L'Rosh Ashmurot, Shifri Kamayim Vibech Nochach Pnei Hashem, Si Elav Kapayach Al Nefesh Ololayach Atufim B'Ra'av B'Rosh Kol Chutzot. Very, very strange. We have a description over here of Churban. We have a description of Churban being brought down to the particular, to children who are hungry, children who are starving. This is something that tears at our hearts. And what is the reaction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of Yirmiyahu? Kumi Roni Balayla. I want you to sing. Sing? To cry. Shifri Kamayim Libech, that will understand. But kumi roni balayla, rina, that song. So if you skip down to the third paragraph, he points out, uskula atzuma hizo, kasher adam bitzara, v'sharei brachas gurim lefanav, shi yitbonen berov tovatav yitbarach. Try and put things in perspective. Try even to put churban in perspective. Al ha'olam bichlal, v'elav bifrat. Kemo shekasev, he quotes a different section, b'sus yisharim. Ein lecha adam be'eza matzav shiyimtza, im ani im ashir, im bari im chole, shelo yireh nifraot v'tovot ravot b'matzavo. Ha'ashir v'habari, faru chayav lo yitbarach al ashro b'riyuto. Ha'ani chayav lo afilu b'anyo, mamsi lo parnasa, derech nei supela, eno manicho lanut b'ra'av, ha'chole al shamachziko b'kovet choyo. We're alive. This person who is seeing the churban, he is still alive. V'chein kol kayotze b'ze, v'yitbonen b'ze harbei, Ad Shiyovo Lidei Shira. I saw many years ago a very, very special story that I'd like to share with you. There was a Ram in BMT named Rav David Werner who put out a book called L'Chiyot El Saf HaOsher. And he quotes a story that he heard from the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman Baharan, who was one of the Dmuyot of Yerushalayim Shomala, Yerushalayim Bein HaChomot before Kum HaMedina, the Opana Baharan, was named after Shlomo Zalman Baharan, and there's a street near Me'er Sharim Rechov Baharan, and his son told Rav Werner this story, which to the best of my knowledge is not printed anywhere else, which the story goes as follows. The son was 8 years old. The home was empty. There was no money in the house. It was Thursday night. The mother had no flour even to bake challahs. And so she sent a son to the Talmud Torah where her husband taught to get the weekly allowance, the 60 grush that was given to her husband, so at least that she'd be able to buy flour for challahs for Shabbos. This 8-year-old boy went, picked up the 60 grush, and on his way back, this was Hanukkah, saw that there was a Hanukkah celebration in his Talmud Torah, and he went to dance, and just forgot everything in the course of the singing and the dancing. And when he finally came home, and his mother had been waiting, by that time already the makalot had been closed, but at least waiting, maybe tomorrow morning she can go out and buy the flour for the chalot. And she turned to him and said, "And the money?" And all of a sudden he put his hand in his pocket, and of course in his other pocket, until he found the hole, and just stood there, realizing that it was all gone, and simply went to his bed and just began to cry in bed, realizing what he had done. And he describes how his father came in the room a few minutes later, saw the mother sitting, saw the son crying, realized what the situation was, walked over to the bed where his son was crying, and whispered to his son, "Gamzu l'tova." And then whispered again, "Gamzu l'tova." And then a little louder said, "Gamzu l'tova." And then he began to hum a tune and began to sing "Gamzu l'tova." And he didn't stop until his son was able to sing the tune along with him and dance with him next to the bed. And then the son went to sleep. That's a ma'ala of kumni roni balayla, being able to sing, being able to rise above, being able to see things in a broader perspective that maybe is not understood at the moment, but realizing that there is this concept of Gam Zu L'tova. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Normally we see it years later. Baruch Hashem, I didn't marry that girl. Right? Baruch Hashem, I didn't get into that yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, that college rejected me. Baruch Hashem, etc., etc. To be able to relate at the time with a sense of Gam Zu L'tova, the Ramchal says that's something which is Shaveh L'chol Nefesh. I find it very hard to understand that being Shaveh L'chol Nefesh. But so far we have two responses, a response of silence and a response of song. The relationship between these two responses can be very, very varied. On one hand, the response of silence we find by Aharon, we find by Rachel, we find by Esther, we find by Shaul. There is a section which I won't read now because of the time, but I'd like you to read it if you have a chance, by Rav Pinkus on Yaakov Avinu. We speak of Yaakov Avinu as being Midat Ha'emet. Now that's, you could ask, where do we see in Chumash that Yaakov Avinu is Midat Ha'emet? That Avram is Midat Ha'chesed? So, Rav Goldberg spoke about Avram Avinu's Hachnasat Orchim and Chevron. The fact that Yitzchak is Midat Ha'yirah, that's the Akedah. Where do we see anywhere a midat ha'emet by Yaakov? Lehefech, subterfuge, we see that in Lavan Garti, he was able to deal with Lavan, he was able to deal with Esav. Where do we see the midat ha'emet? Rav Pinkus points out that the midat ha'emet is in 22 silent years. That when Yosef was disappeared, let's put it that way, from Yaakov's perspective, when Yosef disappeared, and Yosef and Yaakov Avinu had a tradition that were one of his sons to die in his lifetime, that would be the end of the Jewish people, that would be the end of the tradition, that would be the end of the link of the chain. And Yaakov, for 22 years, lived with this feeling that there is no continuity, that there will be no continuity, and b'chol zot, he didn't commit suicide, he didn't go into depression, he didn't go into a state of total despair. He continued his avoda for 22 years, raising his children, even though he saw no future. That's midat ha'emet. Shtika, it can be an equivalent of midat ha'emet. It's very, very, very powerful. Very powerful. Shtika on one hand, and song on the other hand. There is in the Sipurei Chasidim of Rav Zevin a story in which the son-in-law of Rav Shlomo Mirodomsk came to the Kutzker Rebbe. And the Kutzker Rebbe asked the son-in-law of the Radomsker, "Can you say something over in the name of your father-in-law?" And he said, "I can." So he said, "Well, please say it over." So he said, "My father-in-law said that by Yidom Aharon, that was a very, very special midah. But when David HaMelech said, "Lema'an yizamercha chavod v'lo yidom," that was even a higher madrega. The Kusk Rebbe liked it. Namely, that the Lema'an yizamercha chavod, that the Shira can be on a higher level than the Shtika. But I say, Elu v'elu. We have one reaction of Shtika, another reaction of Shira. Each of them require tremendous gevura. Each of them are very powerful ways of showing, returning the love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which He constantly gives to us. But the third method, I think, is Shavu Lechol Nefesh. And here, what I will do, with your permission, is skip the reading within the Mesilat Yesharim and simply read a few psukim in Tanakh. If you turn to the corner of the page, the bottom left-hand column, we have a haftorah that we know from Ochar Chodesh, in which Yonatan and David are speaking to one another. The Ha'or I'm going to point out was said by Rav Elia Bloch, the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, at the cornerstone laying of the Telz Yeshiva in Cleveland. We have over here Yonatan and David deciding on a strategy as to how Yonatan is going to inform David what his next step should be. Should it be to return to the home of Shaul, to the palace of Shaul, or should it be to run away? And the strategy is that Yonatan is going to go out, he's going to shoot arrows, and he's going to tell his lad that if the arrows are between me and the target, then David can come out of hiding and everything is fine. And if the arrows are beyond the target, then David should run away. Look at the language of the Pasuk, says as follows. Ani shlosha chitim tzida oreh l'shalach li l'matareh. Going to shoot three arrows. Hine yeshlachet ha-na'ar. Lech mitzah ha-tachitzim. Im amor amar la-na'ar, hine ha-chitzim imcha v'heina, kochenu uba'a, ki shalom l'cha, ve'ein devar chay Hashem. All is fine. V'yim ko amar la-elem, hine ha-chitzim imcha v'hala, lech ki shlachacha Hashem. This is one of the weirdest four words in all of Tanakh. Lech ki shlachacha Hashem. Brach. Shaul wrote Selo Hargecha. Call a spade a spade. Say, run away. My father is out to kill you. Go because God is sending you. Rav Elia Bloch pointed out that Yonatan over here is pointing out something very special that I think David HaMelech remembered for his entire life. Don't think that you are going out to Eretz Plishtim because Shaul is running after you. You're going to Eretz Plishtim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be in Eretz Plishtim at this time. He's creating a framework to get you where He wants you to be. Lech kishlachacha Hashem. Go, because that's where God is sending you. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be. This is a very, very powerful reaction to Din. Not to view Din as that which is either beyond us in terms of silence, or beyond us but will sing because somewhere along the way it's fine, but rather to view it as an opportunity, to view it as a challenge. Rav Elia Bloch ran away to America from Telz before the war because the police were after him on some halshana. He lost his entire family and his entire yeshiva and his entire life. And this is what kept him going, a sense of Lech Kishlachacha Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be in America. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a reason for him to be in America, and he had to find that reason. I mentioned this to one of the people in our shul who had children in Morag. He says, I don't know, you know, it's to try and understand, but kanirah HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them currently in Ranana, or he wants them currently in Gush Katif, or Chevel Lachish, or he wants them currently near Haifa. Lech Kishlachacha Hashem. That a person can view that HaKadosh Baruch Hu viewed my previous shlichut as having been done well. Now I have my next shlichut. And my next shlichut. And don't forget where David HaMelech ended up. Lech Kishlachacha Hashem. That one has to view each stage along the way as another challenge. And that's what the Ramchal points out in the section that we didn't read. But just to read the last line, that Nizdamin lo mash yuchal haraot et asher hu ohev ad hechan magia otzem ahavato. To view the Nisayon as a challenge, to view the Nisayon as a mission, to view the Nisayon as a calling, to view the din in that manner. So what we've tried to do this evening, and I hope I've gotten us relative back to schedule, tried to do this evening is to see three different approaches to din within the framework of rachamim, in which the din can be viewed not as a contradiction to the ahava, but rather be able to view the din as a continuity of the ahava, either with the gvura of being able to react in silence, or with a unique gvura of being able to react in song. I'll just mention one episode that occurred to us not long ago. We had a family simcha in Ir HaEmunah by Netivot, where the golim of Atzmona are found. And within the family, we have, as all families do, a leftist, a real leftist, Smolani Muvhak. And he decided to come just to see for himself what is going on in Ir Emunah. And he came out in shock. Not in shock so much of the physical surroundings, which I think were shocking among themselves, but rather in shock, and said that they were all smiling. They were all smiling. I can't believe they were all smiling. I can't believe that they were all happy. But that is a level of gvura, kumi roni balayla. And then, putting the two of them together, the lech kishlachacha Hashem. This can, I think, help us perhaps on a national level. I hope it'll help us all on an individual level. Mirtz Hashem, on this evening of Chitum Hadin, I hope that I share in your prayers that we should have a year of shalom, a year of yeshuot, a year of nechamot, and Mirtz Hashem, we should have a geula b'mehira v'yameinu.